Hello, and welcome to Speak On It, History and Genealogy Conversations with Janice and Sharakana. We invite you to join us on Thursdays at 8 p.m. for an engaging exchange with us and our special guest as we cover various topics regarding history, genealogy, and your personal family history stories. Hello, I'm Janice Gilliard.
And I'm Sharakana Feliciano. Welcome to Speak On It, History and Genealogy Conversations with Janice and Sharakana. Thank you for joining us. And don't forget, you can find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Today, we're joined by our guests, Tricia Mays Cummings and Philip Cummings. Tricia has been researching her family history since 2011. She is the content creator of Journey Through the Generations, which includes a genealogy blog, podcast, and YouTube channel. She is a member of the Jackson County, Arkansas Historical Society, the Arkansas Genealogy Society, Afro-American Historical and Genealogical Society, and the Sons and Daughters of the United States Middle Passage Lineage Society. Philip began researching his family in 2019 after attending his first Roots Tech conference in Salt Lake City, Utah. He manages the technology for Journey Through the Generations, including their social media platforms. He is also a member of the Afro-American Historical and Genealogical Society.
Philip and Tricia began Journey Through the Generations to share the information Tricia found about her family and how she found it. Their focus is to help people get started researching their families and inspire those who have stopped searching to get started again. Tricia and Philip are graduates of the University of Arkansas, Fayetteville, and are members of Delta Sigma Theta Sorority, Inc. and Alpha Phi Alpha Fraternity, Inc., respectively. Currently, Tricia works as a medical laboratory technician for the University of Arkansas in Fayetteville, and Philip is a modular development manager for the largest retailer in the world. Philip and Tricia have been married for 23 years and are the proud parents of one son, Wesley. Welcome to Speak On It, Tricia and Philip Cummings.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here with you guys.
Certainly. Thanks for having us.
Well, we're excited to have you. So we're going to go ahead and get started. So, Tricia, please share with our listeners what led you to the creation of your blog.
I started the blog around 2017. I had been researching for about 5 years, and I had come across some very interesting information, and I would tell Philip about it when I found it or when I came back from libraries. And ever since I started researching, I always talked about that I wanted to write a book. I wanted to write about what I actually found in libraries and how I researched my family. Not necessarily a how-to book, but I wanted to share the stories that I found along the way. And so I just kept researching, and Philip was like, well, did you ever think about starting a blog? And I said, a blog? I said, isn't that what people write about fitness and recipes and things like that? And he was like, no, but you can write a blog about anything. And so I said, that's interesting. And I kept on researching for about another 6 months. And he came back and said, well, you remember when we talked about that blog you should start? I went ahead and set it up for you. And you just need to start writing. And so that's how it started. I really, in my spirit, feel like he was just tired of all the stuff that was on the kitchen table. And he thought this would help me to get it all together and start writing. But yes, he set up my platform on WordPress, and I just started writing. It took me about 3 months to write my very first post because I'm not a writer by trade. But once I got to writing, it was something that I was very comfortable with.
That's awesome. That's so funny. Your husband was like, yeah, let's go ahead and get this off the kitchen counter and put it in a blog.
Yeah.
By the way, I got this blog set up over here for you, ready to go, you know.
And at the time, I wasn't very into family history. I really didn't, I don't want to say I didn't care, but it just wasn't my thing.
Right.
And so I just really felt like, see, if he wanted to write a book, we can start with the blog. And so that's why I started.
A lot of people are doing that, and you've inspired me. I have a section for blog on my website, and have not done it yet, but I've written a lot of stuff. So now I just have to transfer. So that's inspiring to me.
Yeah. It's time. Let's get started.
That's right. That's right. So, and it also speaks to having, you know, support as well with the things that you want to do. So even though they may not be into that thing, you know, our loved ones and family find ways that they can support us through it.
Yes. And he has definitely done that, because when I would go to conferences out of state, and he would always go with me. We would go to DC or Philadelphia, and he would go with me so I wouldn't have to travel by myself. And I would go to the conference during the day, and he would just go out in the city and tour the city. And that's just, you know, you don't have to go with people to the library and things like that to be supportive. There's other ways to do it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So we understand that you also host a podcast for Journey Through the Generations. What was the inspiration for starting it?
Yeah, so similar to the blog, we started the podcast in 2017. There was a new tool that was out that I heard about. I usually keep my ear to the ground on some technology and things. And this is when podcasting, it really started going before the pandemic. You know, when 2020 came, it just, you know, took off. But I felt like we could reach more people with the things that Trisha was doing. So we could talk more about how he found something, or about conferences, or about, you know, whatever we, something we saw in online or on TV about genealogy. We just felt like more people should hear about what Trisha was doing. And so me being the technology person I was like, hey, how about we start a podcast? So there was this little tool that came out. It was free, and we could record on our phone. And
very humble beginning.
Yes. Yeah, so nice. when you go back and listen to those, they sound horrible.
They're not that bad.
Yeah, they don't sound good. Fine. To me.
We're not going to agree with you, Philip. You already know that.
So when it started, Trisha did the blog by herself, or the podcast, I'm sorry, by herself. Mm-hmm. And so I was like, well, I'll just support you in the background. And then when I got started, I was like, oh, I think I'll join you. And it was right around when I started researching my own family. I started getting, you know, interested in it. And so we talked about doing more with that podcast, and that's really how it started, is really just taking the blog and expanding that out to reach more people.
Yeah, because one thing we've learned during this is genealogy has its own niche of people who love it. And it's just finding those people that love it and getting them access to what we're doing.
Yeah, and one of the things we talked about when we first started was what we really wanted to do was to get people our age and younger into genealogy, right? Because, you know, people think about family historians and genealogists as being old people. You know, I'm putting that in quotes for
it's true.
I'm putting that in quotes, but that's what people, you know, think of. Yeah. And so we really wanted to be able to use the podcast to inspire others that were like us or younger to start researching their family. And that's really what inspired us to get started doing it.
I like your take on that, to, you know, reach out to the younger generation. A lot of people do have that perception that, oh, that's something you do when you're retired, or, oh, my grandmother used to do that, or my older aunt used to do it. Mm-hmm. So I love the fact that you do that, because there's so many of us that when we started this work, we were like, oh my gosh, I wish I had done it when I was younger. Yes. So I appreciate that. And then just to go back a little bit, you talked about your blog, about writing and your blog. A lot of people are doing that now. They're writing, they're blogging, and then they take that once they get enough information or enough that warrants putting it in book format, they do. I also like the fact that with the podcast and how you all are thinking that, you know, we want to reach as many people as we can, you know, and you would be amazed at some of the people that listen. I know when we were at Roots Tech, I was talking to somebody and she was like, oh, I listen to your podcast all the time. I'm like, really? I mean, not that I don't think people would listen to it, But there are, like you said, there's this group out there that they love genealogy. They love hearing, okay, what is this person? What is that person doing? And one thing about Cherokan and I with the podcast, like, you know, we tell folks, we don't compete with anybody. We stay in our lane. We do our thing. You do your thing. Not even lanes. Lanes don't even exist. But there's enough information, enough history to share with so many different people. And then, you know what? Somebody may not like the way that I flow with it, but they might like another podcaster. But right. I believe in us all coming together and supporting one another. So I just want to say thank you so much for that as well, you know, joining us. So next, Sarah and I focus on history and genealogy with this podcast. Please share the focus and aspects that your podcast covers, you know, the direction that you try to go in, or if there's a direction, or you're like, no, we, you know, if we're feeling something that this particular time and something, you know, is of interest to us, then we talk about that. But if you have a specific focus or how you roll and flow with yours, we'd love to know, and our listeners would love to know.
Like Philip said, when we started it, it was a piggyback off of the blog. So anything that I was doing in my research, we would talk about. If I was going to conferences, we would talk about that. If I was doing research with a new collection, data collection, we would talk about that. That's kind of how it started. My favorite genealogy TV shows and things like that. But then once Philip was more interested and started researching himself, our focus became beginning genealogists and how to get people back interested in it who had started and stopped. Right. And so that's kind of where we go. And it's a conversation like we would talk, you know, on the kitchen table during dinner. So it's very informal, but we have a lot of good information that we give to our listeners.
Yeah. And, you know, after I started researching, I just felt like, you know, I was coming in as a newbie. Right. I didn't know, you know, what to do. And I felt like if we could talk about some of the things to help people who are just starting out, I was in that same boat. Mm-hmm. So I had, things to talk about. And so past that, we just come up with different topics that we want to do. And we've tried a lot of different things. We did, I don't know what season it was, a relative race.
Yeah.
But we did recap episodes of Relative Race, you know, all 10 episodes. Mm-hmm. And so we've tried a lot of different things, and we go to conferences and, you know, Roots Tech and things like that. So we just try and pick out things that we think are things that people would want to listen to or want to learn about. And right. We just kind of flow with it like that.
And then in the background, our foundation obviously is always going to be African American genealogists, because that's what we research.
Right.
So we are always looking for, you know, new record collections or digitized records or things like that that can always help with African American genealogy.
I love what Phil said when he was talking about being a beginner. And just like I said, I wish I had started sooner. When I started my journey, I had one friend, she was trying to help me, but in my presentations, I always share a little bit about how I did everything wrong and all of the resources that we have now, they weren't available. But then there's this misperception, I believe, where people think, oh, it's so hard, or it's going to cost me a lot of money. And so I really do believe in that, like teaching people how to start it. I'm actually doing a class tomorrow, how to do it the right way.
Mm-hmm.
My one dear friend, she always said, you know, make sure you use a program and keep everything organized. And she was like, are you putting everything into that program? I'm like, yeah, I'll get to it. Well, as a beginner and not following that rule, before I knew it, I was printing out everything. I had 13 boxes of material, which was ridiculous, honestly, you know. So there is a right way to do it and the mm-hmm. best way to do it, you know, methodology and all. So I think that's important. So people are effective in their research and they're not wasting time or fumbling through, you know, a lot of papers. Now, I know and I do better, but I'm still suffering from not having done it right when I started. I'll give you an example. So I met someone at Roots Tech and I was like, oh, we found out we were related. And I said, well, I have this will, this document that talks about our ancestors and who enslaved them. And when I get home, I'm going to send it to you. It took me 2.5 hours to find that document. where if I followed my own role, kept everything organized, and as Tania Kuhn says, digitized everything, if I had done that, I would have been able to go and get it. So even sometimes experienced folks need to go back and, you know, listen to the tools of the trade and follow the rules so you don't do that. And I was so exhausted. I was like, I think I need a nap, now. Yeah. And so I'm very, very careful about all of my information so I avoid that pitfall of not putting something in its proper place or digitizing it or filing it in the right manner so that I don't waste time. So that's my big thing with research now. I don't want to waste time and I don't want to spend a lot of time looking for things. So Phil, thank you for sharing that, you know, tools for the beginners. I think that's cool. Thanks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Definitely. So we, along with our listeners, love hearing about family history and genealogy, obviously, right? So for both of you, can you share a little bit about an ancestor that had a major impact on you or that inspires you in some way and what you do in the genealogy community?
I have two, if that's okay.
Yeah.
My first one is my 2-time great-grandfather, Reverend Robert Hatchett. He was enslaved in Alabama and he came to Arkansas with his slaveholding family in 1858.
Oh, wow.
So I am 6th generation Arkansan because
I was just gonna say you got deep roots in Arkansas.
Yes, I do. 6th generation, that makes my son 7th generation.
Wow.
And when I say that, I get chills every time I say it because I know that's not information that a lot of people know. And so I'm very proud of that. And the fact that he endured all that he did and he was a reverend and he married people. Other enslaved people before emancipation, I feel like I'm doing the work that he started here in Arkansas. So he inspires me. He's actually one of the first people I talked about with my family and to discover our roots. I discovered him. My second one is my grandmother, Gladys Denson Mays. This is my father's mother. She was a teacher. She was a church servant. She was a community servant. She was just someone in the community that loved everybody. And in this research, I have learned a lot about her that I didn't know because she was just granny to me. I learned that she also was a historian. She worked with our local historical society, the Jackson County Historical Society, and she was the assistant editor. She was in charge of the Negro history for their newsletter.
Wow.
So she wrote about Black churches, Black schools, Black businesses, and she made sure that every newsletter had a Black subject matter in it. And that was in 1975, and she did that for the next 10 years with the Historical Society. So I feel like I'm continuing the work that she started. Even though I don't live in Jackson County anymore, I have ties there and I still research that community. And I feel like she's with me when I'm researching.
That's beautiful.
I love that because I always say, one moment, Phil, Brother Phil, I'm sorry. I love what you said because in my presentations, and sometimes people look at me like, what are you talking about? But there is a spiritual side of that, you know, side to it. And lately, any researcher friend that I've been talking to, I'm like, do you feel like there's something like spiritual this to this? Or do you feel like you're being guided? And I just talked to Ruth Hunt and she said that. She said she focuses on that she feels led, she feels guided. I not only feel led and guided, I feel every now and then I feel like a pull or all of a sudden somebody's name will come to me and I'm like, okay, I'm not doing that right now. It's like, no, do that. You know, Cherokee is a witness to that, right? Mm-hmm. I went to Utah to research thinking like, okay, I'm going to work on my ancestors. And it was like, you know, Woodruff.
Yeah, Mark, that's my ancestor. Yeah.
I was like, I'm okay. You know, that's Sherikana's first line. And I did. And so much came out of following that. So I believe that we are led, that we do get help from our ancestors.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a very, very real thing. And I like the fact that you feel like you're carrying on their legacy, that you're representing them. One of my questions before we go to Philip is your son interested in it?
I think that he is interested as much as a 20-year-old can be.
Okay.
I tell him stories and give him information about our family. But the thing he's most interested in is the technology and the digital part of it, because that is what he wants to do. So when we went to go clean headstones at the end of last year, he went and he recorded us for our YouTube channel. And that's where we meet him where he is.
Basically. Right.
I would say he's interested to do that. I would say he's interested. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Philip?
So this could take a while, but I'm gonna shorten it up best I can. So a real quick story. My first root tech was in 2019. And at that time, I really didn't have that interest. I was just there to support Trisha and to do the recordings, the videos, you know, all the technology kind of stuff. That's all I was there for. I went to a few, that's not all I was there for. At the time, I was working with Aux on their social media team. So I spent a lot of time recording and for Aux and working with Rick and Rick Murphy and, you know, doing all the stuff that Rick wants me to do, right?
Right.
So I went to some classes and everything in order to get footage, and I sat in a few. And on our plane ride back, I turned and looked at Tristan and I said, I think I just got bit by the genealogy bug. It's just something about being there, right? It's just,
yes.
I don't know, it's just something about it. And so I got bit by the bug and I immediately started. So I decided to start. If you look at my family tree, there was this one big hole there. And I decided to start there. And my dad did not know his father, so we didn't know anybody past that. And so I started doing some research, and what I found was that my dad had a brother out in California that none of us knew about, never knew about him. And I'm so fortunate that I got a chance to introduce them via Zoom because it was during COVID and everything, but they got a chance to talk. I was like, man, I got to do this because these guys are getting older, so I got to do this.
Right. Yeah.
So I got a chance to do that, but in doing that, I also found out that my great grandfather, his name was Dr. Ralph Percy Cummings. And he came to America from Guyana.
Oh, wow.
And so I found the ship manifest that he was on, had him listed. And I could follow, long story short, I could follow his trail from where he entered the U.S. in the Boston, Northeast area up there.
Mm-hmm.
And I tracked him from Boston all the way down to Tennessee. He attended Meharry College in Nashville, and that's when he became a medical doctor there. He did some doctoring and medical work in Memphis, and then he met a young lady in Memphis that was from Arkansas, came to Arkansas, to Conway, Arkansas, Faulkner County, and it's in central Arkansas, close to Little Rock, and he was the first Black doctor that I'm aware of. I hadn't seen any first Black doctor in Conway, Arkansas, attending to all the medical needs of all the Black people in that area, not just in Conway. And so, yeah, so finding that out, you know, really inspired me, because this dude was a doctor and we had no clue.
I was going to ask, were there any whispers of it at all? Wow.
No, I mean, my dad knew very little, and it was only based on what, you know, he would hear, you know,
right.
and the doctor, I always refer to him as the doctor, the doctor, he died the same year my dad was born. So my dad didn't know him at all. So anyway, yeah, I mean, that story and everything that comes with that, and the doctor, he's also inducted into the Arkansas Country Doctors Hall of Honor. And mm-hmm. we found out that it's like 10 or 15 minutes from where we live right now.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
And And we live in Northwest Arkansas, and to get to Little Rock, to where my parents are, we got to drive past Conway. And we did that for 25 plus years and never knew that my family was there, is buried there in the Black Cemetery and all that good stuff. So yeah, I mean, it's the story. I feel like it's to be told. People should hear it. And hopefully it'll inspire them. And it certainly inspired me to now start a second podcast that I'm calling Black Genealogy Corner. And I just made this public for the first time here with you guys. So I can't wait to have you guys on my second podcast. I don't have a launch date yet, but it is coming real soon. But he inspired me, right? Because, you know, I think people need an avenue to tell those kinds of stories. And I really want the Black Genealogy Corner to be that. So,
and I'll just add to your story that it also leads us as African Americans to know that our history is so diverse. Where a lot of us did come from enslaved people, we all didn't. That's not everybody's story.
For instance, exactly.
You know, he was a free person who decided to come over here like all other immigrants did in the early 1900s. Mm-hmm. And that's part of our story as well that we don't hear enough about.
Yeah, and I don't know a lot about his history in Guyana and before. I've been doing...
I was just going to ask you that. Like, has it opened up that... I'm sure that's a whole nother thing for you to discover.
It is. And it's a little bit difficult because I know that Guyana's records aren't very well kept, and there were some that had burned in the fire. And
I feel like that was on a genealogy show. I don't remember who it was. I don't know why, but I feel like it was about Guyana. Oh, I know. There's a member of our genealogy group, not to cut you off, Philip, who he has ancestry in Guyana. And he explained the exact same thing you're saying. The difficulty of researching in Guyana is that there was a fire. That's right.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Is that Mark? Would that be Mark?
That's Mark. Yep.
Yeah. Yep. And they were under British rule at one point. And so there may be some records, you know, in Europe somewhere.
Right.
But yes, that is definitely my focus right now, is to further that. I've already started, and I believe, I'm not certain yet, I haven't confirmed it, but I believe that
he's right.
I believe his family comes from Scotland. There was some traveling back and forth from Scotland to Guyana for farming and things like that. And Tom Cumming had a family in Scotland, and he had a family in Guyana, and you know, that kind of thing. So I haven't confirmed all that yet, but I have a real strong belief that that's probably
city name.
Oh, he lived in there's a place in Guyana, a town, I guess. It's called Cummingsburg. So,
get out.
Wow.
Yeah. And that was simply me. When I found Guyana, I was like, I don't even know where that is.
I was going to say, did you even know that you had an answer?
You didn't get bit. You got swallowed. You're just engulfed now. I was going to ask you, what impact did this have on you? And did it change your life? And all I can hear is, Cheryl Wills is a media personality out of New York, and we interviewed her, and she said, this work will change your life. This work will bless your life. And when I tell you, it does, it does. And to Trisha's point, that we have so many different stories. Our stories, it's not just, our ancestors were enslaved. I mean, I'm working on it now, but I have a line that they were free people of color, Indigenous Native American, and I'm working on that line, and they did some phenomenal things, and I won't stop saying this. I mean, they were free, but their whole attitude was, yeah, we're free, but we're not really free until everybody else is free. And they worked towards that, towards an anti-slavery newspaper, were raised money. I just found this recently. I included it in my presentation, but they raised money for that whole, the Amistad captives, they raised money for that court case and to support them, and the church still exists. So I'm blown away by, you know, you went to a conference, you know, you get on a plane, you get bit, and then you start doing this work and look at what you're finding, look at how it's inspired you to start your own podcast. And, you know, with genealogy, I'm just like, it just goes on and on and on. And when you start it, the information and the stories, and that's why we love doing this podcast, to hear those stories, you know, and yours is amazing.
There's something I noticed too, is that the both of you are in historically Black sorority or fraternity, the Divine Nine, right? And you know, it's interesting because, you know, even though I did not pledge, I do know that part of pledging requires understanding the history of the chapter that you're pledging, or the particular sorority or fraternity that you're pledging. So that in of itself is a form of genealogy in a way, right?
That's right. Yeah.
And I also saw that, you know, you're members of Sons and Daughters. Are you able to kind of, you know, speak on the importance of, you know, kind of lineage societies and, you know, joining certain organizations, and how, why you chose to do so?
For me, I was still new to genealogy when I learned about the Sons and Daughters. And it just so happened that I had just had a conversation with my aunt, my mother's sister, and she's the one who gave me the information about Reverend Robert Hatchett. That's who is my honored ancestor through that organization. Okay. And it had been maybe 3 weeks since I had gotten information about him, and I had planned to go to the university library because they had all the newspapers from around the state. And she said that there was an article in the newspaper about his emancipation papers. And she gave me the date, and I said, okay, I'm gonna go look. And so that was 3 weeks. And then I saw on Facebook, somebody that I followed mentioned something about the Sons and Daughters, and I looked it up, and I was like, okay, that's kind of like, you know, the DAR. And I was like, you know, that's something that I would love to do. And if I was ever able to do it, I would. And go 6 months down the line, and I had found that newspaper article. And the year before, I had this death certificate quest, and I had ordered every death certificate I could for everybody that I thought in Arkansas had died when they started death certificates. And so I was like, okay, I have all these death certificates, maybe I can link, because you know you have to use vital records and census and stuff like that for linear societies. I said, okay, maybe I can link up with these death certificates. And so that quest and that newspaper article is how I got into the Sons and Daughters. And it's important for me because I'm a historian first. I love history. I love Black history. I'm the one who always, when I had to write a paper about anything in high school, I picked a Black person in that subject area. So I have a very good foundation in American history and Black history. And I've always, and my grandmother, my granny, Gladys Nelson Mays, she always instilled in us to know our history and to know that we were great and to know great people of color in America and to be proud of that. And I could not do that with my own family. To be able to find a man who was enslaved in Arkansas. Though, I mean, that's stuff that I read about in books.
Right.
And so there's no way that I could not attempt to join this organization. And then once I realized, you know, the people who would be looking at my, you know, application, and they were, you know, like, you know, LaBrenda Nelson, and I was like, okay, that's a little intimidating. I just started, and she's probably gonna be like, reject. But once I got accepted and I knew that, you know, they had looked at all my records and everything pieced together, that validated not only my family, but my research. And that gave me so much confidence to be able to continue researching and know that I was doing it the right way. And I was finding good, accurate information.
Right.
Love that. That's Philip, great. Was there anyone else you wanted to talk about, or that's your main one?
That's my main one.
It's powerful, though. You can have a whole podcast on that, on his information.
Wow. Yeah, it's a lot of information and that I haven't even spoken about yet. So it's a lot. It's my focus. So.
Wow. And Philip, are you part of Sons and Daughters as well, or are you working on that? Or
I am not working on that. No, I'm not.
I didn't mean to put you on blast.
No, that's okay. Because I've already talked to them and told them I'm not there yet. So
okay,
you will be.
Yeah, you're coming.
Dr. Evelyn McDowell listens to our podcast, so you are coming.
Absolutely.
Listen, I can't talk because Evelyn saw me as well, because I need to have been in Sons and Daughters like a couple of years ago, and I'm
Yep. So every time she sees me, she mentions that. And I attended her class at Roots Tech a couple of years ago, and I live tweeted that session, and so she was like, "Okay, it's time for you to get your information together."
Yeah. Right.
But I will say that he, on this family that he discovered with Dr. Cummings, he has seen that he has a patriot in his family.
Wow, awesome.
So if he wanted to do the work, he could apply for funds.
Yeah, and
the American Revolution.
And someone in the family already has, because I saw the application for it. I don't remember where I saw it, but all that work is there, you know. I would just have to connect it all to it. Yeah, so so that makes it a little easier when I decide to do it. So.
Oh, absolutely. And Rick Murphy has his group too as well. The first Africans it's a very long name.
And I've always said, next time I talk to Rick, I'm gonna tell him that name is too long.
But you know, that's another option too, for, you know, depending on where your research takes you, like, you know, you might be able to join them as well. So that's awesome.
So what's next for both of you regarding the work that you do with Journey Through the Generations?
Yeah, so if you paid attention to a lot of the things I said, I'm more technology, right? So so I'm always looking for the next thing for us to do. So we have had our YouTube channel for a long time, but we kind of stopped doing it. And I told Chris, like, we got to get started, because YouTube is starting to do podcasts and everything. And so we need to start doing our videos again. And so we've been doing videos every now and then. So definitely that. Taking advantage of all the updates in technology, you know, we're just always looking for new ways to impact, you know, reach more people, impact more people. And that's really what we're continue to do. So whenever I tell people all the things that we have for Journey Through the Generations, they're like, you know, that's a lot. And it is. And we don't do it full time. So, you know, we have full time jobs. Yeah.
Right.
But we do what we can when we can. And we're just looking to, you know, help as many people as we possibly can. So
for me, I have taken this year as a year of reflection, and I have been rereading some of my blogs and re-listening to the podcast. And through that, I have learned that I believe I have enough information, because I have a series on my blog about how I got to know my grandfather through my research, because he was the only grandparent that I had that died before I was born. And I have a series, and it's about 8 blogs about how I researched him and the things that I learned about him. And I think I'm almost ready to start and put that into like a short story and start my book process and start out with a short story about him.
That's awesome. Congratulations on these new endeavors.
I love everything that you're doing, everything beautiful and insightful, inspiring, you know. And then I just love your disposition, how you are passionate about what you're doing, and you feel this. You feel it. I was having a conversation with someone, and I said, you know, not everybody that I talk to that does research has that thing, that feeling thing. Some people are like, okay, name, stage, the story, and they just, it's like, whatever. And right, for me, I'm like, no. You know, yeah, like I like what Trisha said about, it's almost like you're bringing them to light, you know. Yes. I do like the tree on Finding Your Roots, when that's one of my favorite things when it comes on. I said, that is really, to me, what it's like opening up a book and that tree just comes up and we're the ones that's given it life by doing the work and creating a narrative, if there isn't a narrative. And a lot of people, well, I don't have the stories. I'm like, if you do the research,
yes, the stories
you
are there.
You can create a narrative. The story is there. Why did they live here? Why did they move here? Oh, well, they moved here because this person was there. You know, there's just so much to it. So those stories are waiting to be told. I honestly feel like, and I make a joke about this, but that when we do this work, you know, I imagine our ancestors, there's a scripture, I'm not trying to spiritualize this, but it says, we're surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses. So mm-hmm. I believe that when we go to do this work, that they're like, oh, wait. She's talking about me. She's researching.
Right.
She's talking story about me. That's how I view it, that they literally, you know, rejoice when we do this work. Now that's in my mind and I own it, you know, maybe it isn't that way, but that's how I feel. You know, like Larkin, you know, Cherokana's second great grandfather?
Second great grandfather. Mm-hmm.
Okay. So for the young people, you know, you hear the music, when I come through, that's how I felt. Like, you know, when we found all of this information about her second great grandfather, it was like, when I come through or when I walk through? I should get when I walk through. Like Cherokee's like, yes, get that right. When I walk through. But I could give me my theme music, like I could, you know, like I envision
it's a song
it,
by right? Mystical, and there's a coach that
Deion Sanders, I think.
He uses that as his intro. He walks into the locker room, I guess, before a game. Right. And so Janice is like, every time I think about your ancestor, because he was a Civil War ancestor, and you know, just a really interesting story that's unfolding. She's like, every time I think about him, I think about that song. That Deion said, like, give him my theme music. Like, I'm
music. Because he's revealing himself. Like, he's not, you know, his Civil War pension file is floating around somewhere. It's not at the National Archives. It's not in the other place it's supposed to be. But he's showing up in other places. And so, you know, when people get discouraged and they say, oh, well, I can't find this. I'm like, the information may be somewhere else. Don't get discouraged. And I literally feel them, like, cheering us on. Like, keep going. Don't stop. Research, tell the stories, you know, share and inspire other people. And you too have certainly done that for us, and I'm sure for our listeners as well.
Yeah, thank you.
Well, thank you.
Trisha and Philip, what are some parting words you'd like to share with our listeners?
I would say, just like we always say on any podcast episode that we do, that to help newbies, beginner researchers, is just get started.
Yeah,
I mean, it really is that simple. It's just, like,
just get started.
You know, just get started. No one is asking you to be the professional genealogist, you know, famous person of the world. You know, no one's asking that. You know, just start telling the story. You know, well, first thing you need to do is go talk to your oldest living relative. That's the number one thing to do. Write it down, record them, whatever you got to do. Your phone can do all of that. You know, you don't need any special equipment. Just get started. You know, we really feel like everyone is a researcher. They just don't know it yet, right?
Absolutely.
Can you say that one more time?
Yeah. How did I say it?
Everyone is a researcher. They
thank you, Trisha.
Because I keep going. So
right.
So yeah, but I know I totally believe that everyone is a researcher. They just don't know it yet. And so anytime they post a picture on Instagram or they text a picture of, you know, Ray Ray's graduation or whatever it is, they just became their family historian or
documenting that. Yes, exactly.
And so I mean, just get started asking your relatives, ask questions, and just do as much as you can, and then just start learning from there. And you know, because I really feel like all families have a story to be told. No matter what it is, I think people get afraid of what they're going to find, right? Because no one wants to talk about the bad things, the slavery and, you know, beatings and lynchings and all that stuff. And it is, you know, it is painful for a lot of people, and I get it. But I feel like we really need to tell those stories to keep them alive for the people who come behind us. And if you can put that information together in a good packet, people are more willing to read it and tell their, you know, children about it, and hopefully continue that on down the line. So, yeah, mm-hmm. I mean, just get started. Just get doing it.
Absolutely. For me, I like to remind everyone that genealogy and family history is not just looking at microfilm in the library. Right. It is a huge opportunity of wealth of knowledge, from, you know, methodology to DNA to, you know, cemetery preservation, collecting family recipes. Like you said, you know, we all have graduation announcements with pictures that we keep in a box or a drawer or somewhere. So like you said, we're all family historians. You just have to start where you are. If you are the keeper of the recipes in your family, then actually write them out and print them out and make sure that other people in the family have that sweet potato pie recipe, because I don't have one and I would really like one. So I didn't get that from my dear. So if you have that, then that is what we need to do collectively, is to, you know the things that are, you know, the traditions in your family. That's family history. So just share that information. When I'm with my nephews and my son, I'll get out a picture and say, this is your great grandfather, Gus Hatchett. He was one of the first African Americans to have a radio program on the radio in Jackson County, Arkansas in 1950. That's our history. So I share little bits and pieces with them, and I try not to, you know, push it down their throat, even though I want to. But I just share bits and pieces. I meet them where they are, and I want it to be fun for them. I don't want it to be a hassle. Oh God, here comes Treasury, mom with that picture. I want it to be fun. I want them to have their own memories of us and memories of the past that we share with them.
Beautiful. Beautiful. Trisha and Philip, thank you so much for sharing with us and our listeners. Can you please let our listeners know how they can find out more about Journey Through the Generations, or now, and Black Genealogy Corner?
Yeah. Yes. So Journey Through the Generations, we have a blog, journeythroughthegenerations.com. And of course, the podcast that you can listen to wherever you listen to your favorite podcast, Apple, Google, and Spotify, all those good things. Our social media, we have Twitter and Facebook. They're both just Journey Through the Generations. You can search for us there. And then Black Genealogy Corner, like I said, it will be available once we launch on all podcast platforms. And I do have an Instagram set up for that, Black Genealogy Corner. So you can follow me over there. Excellent. And you'll learn when I launch. So I'm looking forward to it.
Yes, we are too. We are too. And we feel very honored that this was the first place that you would announce that.
So. Yes.
And congratulations to both of you on new projects and so forth. To our listeners, thank you so much for joining us, and we look forward to sharing with you during our next segment of Speak On It.
Speak On It is a podcast and is immediately available to listen to at your leisure. Thank you.